on KLYT. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Holly Slade is the founder and executive director of Feed New Mexico Kids, and Tracy Rodden is the community outreach director. Both ladies in studio. Hi.
Good afternoon. I almost said good morning.
That's okay. It feels like morning.
I'll be safe and just say hi.
It was really nice out yesterday, and I think we're having another one of those days today.
A little windy. You know,
a little windy.
You can start to feel the wind in New Mexico. Spring's coming.
When the spring's coming. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Right. Amen to that.
It's windy all year now.
Well, we're going to start with Holly. And Holly, we always ask you some baseline questions because even though you're on the show pretty frequently, you haven't been on for a little while.
No.
You and your hub got a chance to take a couple little trips and enjoy life a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. You went, where'd you go?
Portugal.
Portugal. Oh, that sounds cool.
It was beautiful.
Did you love it there?
I did.
I love it.
Yeah. Portugal's wonderful. If you haven't been, you should go.
Holly, it's an interesting story how you became aware that many children in New Mexico did not have food on the weekends. Would you share that story with us?
I will. You know, I was doing a research project on human trafficking, actually, and I stumbled upon the information that New Mexico leads the nation in childhood hunger. And I just remember thinking, how did I not know that? How is it that I have lived in this community, you know, for over 25 years, that I'm involved in my community, I volunteer in my community, and I had no idea that we led the nation in childhood hunger. And so I researched it more, I was praying about it, I was thinking about it, and I just had that overwhelming sensation that somebody needed to do something about it. And as I looked at what was being done currently, you know, the Lord just sort of developed the idea, to be quite honest. I made it more complicated, which took me longer to launch it than it should have. I thought I needed to raise up a team that would go out and recruit churches and that type of thing. And then Dave, my husband, actually said, you know, if you don't do something about that soon, the Lord's going to give it to somebody else. And I mean, there's nothing like being passionate about something and feeling like the Lord has called you to it. And then somebody says, get on it or it'll be taken away from you. And so I actually wrote a proposal for Calvary, and Pastor Skip accepted it and said, let's try it for 6 months and see if it takes off. And so that was March of 2017. And now here we are, 2021. And last year we did over 103,000 snack packs, and it was over 144 tons of food. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely caught on. The need exceeds still what we're doing. We've made great inroads, but there is still a tremendous need out there.
How many children are we talking about that need food on the weekends?
Statewide, the stats before COVID were over 104,000 children statewide. So we run, you know, somewhere between 1 in 5 children and 1 in 4 children. During COVID, they were going between 1 in 3 and 1 in 4 children. So, you know, the statistics, it's hard to get your numbers around, get your arms around hunger. And so you rely on sources like Feeding America that does hunger stats for the whole country so that they are consistent stats. But I think that there's a lot of hungry kids that are not counted. Because hunger is one of those things that hides. I frequently say hunger hides. Mm. And that's because kids are afraid that if they let somebody know they're hungry, that they might get taken away from their parents.
Yes.
And then we've got parents that are afraid as well, you know, that if they can't feed their children and somebody finds out, that their children might get taken away. So with the numbers that we know, I always say they're more than that.
Yeah. Holly, that brings all kinds of things to mind. Like, for a child to have a snack pack is not a real invasive process. It's not like they're revealing they don't have any food. They're simply asking for it.
Right. It's an interesting thing. We work through the school systems, and the reason we do that is because there needs to be a responsible adult in the chain somewhere. Let's say a child has a food allergy, or they're diabetic, or there's something going on in their world where some type of food in the snack pack might be harmful to them or not good for them in some way. So that's why we give snack packs to school districts, individual schools. The school has either a nurse, principal, family liaison, teacher, counselor, etc., somebody who actually knows that child and knows their circumstances and knows if they have any allergies. And our food goes into a gallon-sized Ziploc bag. It's not a separate backpack that a child carries for a number of reasons. One is there's a lot of stigmatization, especially for mid-high and high school kids that need food. And then there's bullying that goes on with the younger kids. And unfortunately in New Mexico, intentionally withholding food is a form of child abuse that some parents use on their children. And so if they were to advertise, you know, walking in the front door that they have this whole separate backpack, the food would be taken away from them immediately. So we put everything in a gallon-sized Ziploc bag, and it goes discreetly into a child's backpack so that if there are others around them that should not know they have food, that they don't know. It's discreet.
So our listeners are all the way down to Las Cruces, all the way up in Santa Fe, all the way down south to Socorro, and in addition to Las Cruces. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of communities that may be listening now going, gee, we don't have Feed New Mexico Kids. Is this something that is scalable where someone could bring Feed New Mexico Kids to their community and you'd show them how to do it?
It really is. I call it ministry in a box because we, you know, we started out with one church and then we added over time. We now have 9 churches. We actually have 2 up in Santa Fe, one in Rio Rancho, one in Las Lunas, and then the rest are here in Albuquerque. But we have churches of all sizes that are participating. So we've got the mega churches like a Calvary that's doing, you know, 2,400 snack packs a week. We've got Legacy that's doing, I think 1,100 per week. We've got Faith Lutheran that's doing, I think, around 100 a week. And then we've got, smaller churches like down in Las Lunas and Rio Rancho, where what they do is they do them quarterly. So, or monthly. So they might do 100 or 200 per month. Mm. And so, we can really set up a system for whatever the size of the church is that you're attending. We partner with churches because churches obviously want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. That's ultimately what we're trying to do, is we are trying to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to share the love of Christ. Obviously, we can't evangelize in a school. We can't verbally tell a child about Jesus, but we can certainly show a school, a teacher, a counselor, and ultimately a child that there is a God in heaven who loves them. Mm. And that's what we're doing. So we partner with churches. They pull together their volunteers. We've got the artwork that they can use. We can tell them how to pack if they're 100-person church, or if they're, you know, a 12,000-person church or beyond. So yeah, we can walk them right through it.
Tracy Rodden I met when she was helping put together the awareness and fundraising event back on October 22nd. It was called Find Out How You Can Feed New Mexico Kids. Tell us about your story, Tracy, and why you're involved as the community relations director.
Well, first, I just wanted to say that that event we had, the awareness event, in October, this last October, that was only made possible because people were willing to come and be volunteers and help with that. So I just want to let everybody who's listening who helped with that to know how much we appreciated them. But, yeah, I was raised as a food insecure child. And, you know, one of the reasons that that happened to me was my primary caregiver, my mom, was involved with drugs and alcohol and so often forgot that she had kids to feed. And so when I heard about Feed New Mexico Kids, which was probably in 2018, I started to become aware of it. You know, you kind of, you hear about things and you tuck them in the back of your mind. You're like, you know what? This is a really good idea. And then I would see Holly on campus and I would see her in the Plex packing up food. And I kept thinking, this is a really good idea. But somehow the Lord didn't connect the dots for me at that time. He had other things for me to do. And so, last May, I just, for 2 years, from 2019 to 18 or 19 to 2020, 20, I was helping to pack, and I just felt like one day the Lord said, I think you can do more. And, you know, when God says that, you're like, not, I think you have the wrong number. Like, that's, no. But I'm 53, and I've learned to be obedient quickly. And so I went to Holly, and we chatted about that, and I really got more involved at that point. But the main reason is knowing what childhood hunger feels like. I also have this strong feeling in me that if you know something isn't right and something needs to be done about it, then that means you need to do something about it. You don't point the finger like Holly said earlier, you know, somebody else needs to do it. And, you know, that's for us to take and to do. And so I got more involved. But this quote that I think about all the time by Mark Batterson, he's a really popular author, Christian author. He said, God doesn't bless us to raise our standards of living. God blesses us to raise our standard of giving. And that's really where true joy comes from. And, you know, the Bible tells us whom much is given, much is expected. And I feel like having been a hungry child and come on the other side through the grace of God, that's now my responsibility is to give back, you know, from who much is given, much is expected. And so that's how I got more involved with Feed New Mexico.
So having a snack pack, which is filled with food to get you through the weekend,
mm-hmm.
would that have changed your life if you had that when you were a child?
Yeah, I think that that would have given me hope because, and we've talked about this a lot, just as an adult, when you're hungry and you skip lunch, let's just say you're busy, you're not thinking as clearly, you know, your mind wanders, then you think, oh, I'm really hungry, and then you just go get food, right? The typical adult just says, well, I'm going to go through drive-thru, I'm going to go home and eat or whatever. But as a child, you can't do that. You can't say, I'm just going to go get food. So if I knew that that was in my backpack, I probably would have felt, you know, hopeful. I think that's the main thing, is to feel hope and give hope to these kids.
I have to bring this up to Holly, and I think you've shared this with us before. Tracy's talking about how difficult it is for an adult to go without food maybe for 4 to 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Holly, there are 5-year-old, 6-year-old first graders that haven't eaten since Friday that are trying to go to school on Monday morning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The behavioral problems that teachers experience on Monday morning are overwhelming. And we hear about it from the cafeteria workers as well. There was one little guy just ravenous on Monday morning at the school lunch, you know, asking everybody else if they were going to finish their breakfast. And one of the cafeteria workers asked him when the last time he ate was. And he thought for a minute, and then he said, well, my grandpa gave me some Cheez-Its yesterday. So we're talking maybe a handful of Cheez-Its for Sunday. And so what happens is these kids are reliant on the school breakfast and lunch Monday through Friday. And then when Saturday and Sunday come, they don't have enough food to get through the weekend. So they learn to kind of use any of the food that they think will store, kind of rat hole it away, as we call it. You know, if it's an apple, they'll stick it in their backpack and try and make it last through the weekend. But they really say that Sunday is the hungriest day of the week for these kids, because anything that they have rat holed away to try and get them through the weekend, they're hungry all day Saturday. They generally eat it on Saturday, and they generally don't have much of anything on Sunday. We currently had some people from one of the mid-highs in town come over and participate in a packing. And the counselor was telling us that several of their mid-high students ration the snack pack because they know what their week looks like, and they know that they don't have dinner. And so we've got kids that are even using what is intended to be a weekend snack pack, using that to just try and get them through the week even.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about surviving.
Yeah.
We're not talking about flourishing. And,
no.
I mean, what a valuable ministry. FeedNMKids.com is the website. You can make donations. You can volunteer to be to pack snack packs, as Tracy was talking about earlier. There's also a neat resource, Tracy, that you helped put together, which is a documentary about all this. Tell us about that and where it's available.
Yeah, and that documentary was made by Sarah Canafani and Luminance Production Films. But you can view the documentary on the Feed NM Kids website. But it's also on YouTube, which I have found really helpful. And on YouTube, you just type in Feed New Mexico Kids, and it pops up because on YouTube you can pull it and share it via text with anybody. So, you know, I'm constantly now getting texts from people, you know, I want to serve, where do I serve, you know, how can I serve? Or, you know, being somebody who likes to make teams and pull other people in, you know, and we're always looking for money. Let's just be honest,
because sure,
we need money to buy food. And I'll often send the documentary ahead of the conversation I'm going to have about how somebody could help with Feed New Mexico Kids.
And when we come back from this break, we're going to talk to you both about the efficiencies of the ministry, because it's literally run with 100% volunteers. Every dollar is spent on food or packing materials like plastic baggies, Ziplocs. Mm-hmm. So when we come back, we'll talk about that and the average cost of putting together a snack pack. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Several times in the Old Testament, God says he will remember certain things. Like in Leviticus 26:42, where he says, "Then I will remember my covenant with Jacob and my covenant with Isaac and my covenant with Abraham. I will remember and I will remember the land." But does God ever really forget anything? I mean, when God says he will remember something, he simply means he will be faithful to a promise previously made. And we can learn from God's example. Sometimes we forget the commitments and promises we made in the past. Sometimes we need to ask, am I remembering who I am and what I believe? Well, this is David Jeremiah, encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover how God remembers on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
Christians often overlook studying prophecy. Skip says we need to change that.
Every tomorrow has two handles, the handle of faith and the handle of anxiety. Too many of you are grabbing onto the handle of anxiety. Prophecy will move you to grab the handle of faith.
The book of Revelation is full of prophecy, and it brings you joy when you study it.
The real joy that you will experience is when you decide to keep it. How do you keep the book of Revelation? By living in the light of eternity. That's how.
Studying prophecy should elicit another response from you.
When you come to know and see Jesus in this book, I hope you will be moved more and more to trust him.
Find more from Skip at connectwithskip.com. Now, a parting question from Skip.
What's next for you?
What's next for you?
Perhaps the next step for you, the best step for you, is that you would embrace what you have placed at arm's length for so long, and that is a relationship with Jesus Christ.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We're here with Holly Slade and Tracy Rodden with Feed New Mexico Kids, talking about just this urgent need, big need. I mean, it exceeds what the resources are right now. Holly, before we go any further, though, and I might ask you this at the end of the show again, is this problem of childhood hunger solvable?
I believe that it is in New Mexico. If you look at that, we have maybe 104,000 kids statewide. I believe that that's very solvable in a state our size with the population that we have. I think it would be harder to solve someplace like California or New York, where the population is so massive. But we're really a low population state, and we happen to have metro areas that are close to areas of need. We've got Las Cruces, which is close to the southern counties or in the southern counties where we have need. We've got Santa Fe, which is close enough to a lot of our northern counties with need. Albuquerque's big enough that we can reach out fairly far. And then, you know, there's always churches in a small community. We partner with some churches who aren't able to pack the snack packs where they live, and we actually pack them for them at our main warehouse. And then they come to our warehouse and they pick up and they take them to the schools that are in their area, because ideally the church builds a relationship with the schools that they're serving, so that if there's a crisis or if there's a need, or let's say it's a, you know, gosh, we've got this wonderfully talented athlete You know, she's 13 years old, really tall. She has a size 12 foot. And if we could just get somebody to donate the proper tennis shoes, we think she could get a volleyball scholarship one day. Would your church be interested in buying, you know, this girl the tennis shoes? And obviously, if that relationship is built, of course, they'd probably buy her more than she could use. So the requests that come from the relationships are not overwhelming at all. For instance, Calvary is serving 51 schools right now. You know, we could obviously use more churches because ideally any one church wouldn't have to serve that many schools. 51 schools and locations, I should say, because they do boys and girls up too. But the requests are not often. You know, sometimes it's a coat for a certain kid and it's not coat for kids season, or for whatever reason they didn't live here when Coats for Kids were here, or the APS clothing library doesn't have the right size, or, you know, just little things happen. And there's a request for one kid, you know, it's the one off that the relationship is really there for, because there are programs, there are clothing libraries, there are things like that. There, if a child qualifies for the McKinney-Vento Act, there are some support services that wrap around those kids, but there are the other kids that fall through those cracks. And that's why we want a relationship built. We don't want to just be a snack pack relationship. We want the church to really be there for the school.
How much does it cost to put together a snack pack?
Well, like everything else, costs have recently gone up. You know, when we first started, it was about $3.88. During COVID, we went as high as $5.33 per snack pack, so that was a 37% increase. Last month, the cost was down again to $4.78. So as a working number, I tell people to keep $5 in their mind, $5 for a snack pack. And if you go to the coffee houses around town and you look at what a medium or a large iced, I call them whippy frappy drink, or, you know, something that's more than a drip coffee, it's going to be generally more than $5. And so I would just like to challenge people. Are you willing to give up one of those per week to feed one child a snack pack? So one per week, $5 per week. And if they would go on the website, and that's just $20 a month, and that will feed one child for the month. And that's all the way through the school year. We do have access to some of the kids during the summer. Summer and Christmas break and Thanksgiving are hard because the kids are not in school. And again, we have to go through a responsible adult. We can't just set up on a street corner and say, come one, come all. The school districts, if they're in session, they are very eager to partner with us and provide ways that we can get food to the children. We have worked with HUD Housing in the past. As I mentioned, we work with Boys and Girls Clubs. So we're very flexible. We're any way that we can get to the child and have a responsible adult in the mix who knows if the child has food allergies, et cetera, we are on board for that. But we need financial partners.
How financially efficient is Feed New Mexico Kids with every dollar donated?
I think it's very efficient. You know, we did have to buy a shop vac to clean our warehouse, but our warehouse is donated. Our utilities are donated. All of our volunteers use their own gas money to deliver. And so it's just under that 100% mark. It's like, you know, 99.7%, something like that, of every dollar donated goes toward the food or the cardboard boxes that they're transported in, or the Ziploc bags or the napkins or the spoons. You know, we have some donors who have specifically donated for, right now there's a contract labor person that helps us with some of the admin things, and those donations are separate. So for any of the listeners that are listening, their donation is strictly snack packs and, you know, the hard materials that the snack pack is transported in.
FeedNMKids.com is the website. You can go take a look at the documentary that Tracy mentioned earlier, or you can donate or find out how to contact these two ladies and find out more about the ministry. Tracy, what do you do today with difficult memories from your childhood about not having food?
Well, I think that most adults who are hungry children, which I think there's more out there than we really understand, know that you're always going to carry that feeling of being hungry, that thought of being hungry. But it heals, and it's kind of like a scar when you get hurt really badly and you have to have stitches. Let's say it really hurts when it happens and you get stitched up. And then when it heals, you still see the scar and you know what that's from, but it doesn't hurt to touch it. And so that's kind of what's happened for me. Like the Lord came in and healed a lot of that with me. And he still is, even just like this week, he's healing that with me. It's kind of interesting. But you know, as a believer, I know that only God can heal that in me. And so when he set you free from that, then I knew I was free to help other kids. And, you know.
And I want to ask you about that help to other kids. Do behaviors in school change dramatically when kids have food?
Radically. They say that a hungry teen is 5 times more likely to commit suicide. And that's not taking into consideration the other, you know, cofactors that go into that. But behaviors and suspensions, teachers just report to us again and again and again the radical change. They basically say it's like they're different children once they're not hungry on the weekend anymore. Because it is obviously a physiologic solution. They need calories and they get calories, but it is also, as Tracy was talking about, hope. Mm-hmm. So there was one little guy, he was 6 years old and he was contemplating suicide. I don't think I even knew what suicide was when I was 6. Mm-hmm. And so they brought in some counselors for him and asked him why. And he said, well, he just thought that his mom's life would be so much easier if she didn't have to feed him. So they started him on snack packs, and it was literally 1 month later they said he's like a different kid, happy to be at school, engaged, participating in class, gets a snack pack every weekend. And, you know, it was truly life-changing for a 6-year-old, you know, and the teen stats we've already mentioned. But, you know, school attendance changes and the attitude toward school changes. We've had schools that have had really high percentages of homeless kids in their school. And so their counselor got really creative and she disassembled the snack packs and she would give them 2 or 3 items each day to take home with them because she knew that they weren't having dinner. And then she had bonus items for them on Friday. And so lo and behold, their attendance improved. They came to school every day so that they could get the food. And then in other cases where they really are getting the snack packs on Friday, Friday tends to be a low attendance day among the hungry population. Mm-hmm. And attendance changes substantially once they start getting snack packs. It becomes their favorite day of the week. It used to be one of their most dreaded days of the week because they knew that the weekend was coming and they didn't have anything to eat. Mm-hmm. And now the kids will go out of their way to make sure that they are there on Friday. They want their snack pack.
Tracy, I see you writing some notes over there.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, Holly mentioned when we get our fancy coffee drinks or whatever for $5. I mean, people are even spending that kind of money on energy drinks. So think about like the domino effect of life. This is a huge issue, but if everybody does just a little bit, and that's the brilliance of Feed New Mexico Kids is, you know, you just pack a snack pack or you donate a little something or you do a little something here or you deliver. But to donate the $5 that it takes for a snack pack to feed a child who's going to, you know, do well in school, have better attendance, not end up a teen who trades, you know, sex for food and becomes a productive person in our society and maybe grows up to be a kid that helps a nonprofit one day. You know, what is that worth? I think we have to really think about that little step that causes a domino effect to change the trajectory of everything that's in our future. Personally, just turning 53 last week, I start thinking like these kids graduating from high school one day, you know, I want them to be really good doctors to fix me, you know, or, you know, whatever we need. And I think that's the biggest investment we can make in our life is in someone else's future.
And nothing that you both have talked about today is going to break the bank.
No. Right.
Simple way to donate.
Yeah. Right. And then we have very generous donors that'll go, you know, above and beyond that, to really amazing levels. And so again, when we go back to this is scalable, the giving is scalable too. If $5 a week is really what's comfortable, or maybe it's even a stretch for you, but $5 a week is feeding a child over the weekend. And then if you've got more, well, we would love to receive more. We've got more kids we want to go out and start serving.
Yeah, or serve instead of give money.
Amen. Thank you both for joining us today. It's a blessing.
Thanks,
to have
Jim.
Us.
Thank you.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management at KLYT. If you missed any or part of today's show, the podcast can be found at abqconnect.online.